The Institute of Marriage and Family suggesting that there be a campaign in Canada urging people to get married because it'll improve your financial circumstances. You'll be there to support each other in times of personal trial. Let's talk to the senior researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. He joins us now on CFRA, Peter John Mitchell. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So among other things, you found in this research that if people are married, there is a commitment through which they see each other through various crises that occur in one's life.
We know, not necessarily from the data that we looked at, but from other Canadian studies and other studies done around the world, that marriage does seem to deliver some economic advantages to families. And whether that's the things that we think of, being able to pool income together and share income, be able to navigate the life course and make adjustments in your life and kind of account for that, and sharing in paid and unpaid labor. We do know that overall, married families tend to attain more wealth on average over the life course, and they seem to be a little bit better protected against poverty. So there does seem to be some economic advantages to marriage.
You found in your study, and give us the percentages if you would, that more of the high-income families are married than middle- and low-income families.
That's right. So we're very interested in seeing how marriage had declined over the last number of decades. We know that it has. And we wondered, has that declined equally among income levels? And so we looked at the top 25% of income-earning individuals and families, the bottom 25%, and then that 50 sort of two quartiles in the middle we combined as one unit. So among the top income earners, about 86% of income-earning families in that top income quartile are married families and common-law families. The data didn't look at the difference between married and common-law, but compared to the lowest income quartile, that was about 12%, so quite a big disparity. That disparity has existed over time. We looked at a 35-year period, and it's been there since the beginning, even before that time, but what's happened is that disparity has grown over time. And we've seen middle-income earning families, about 68% of those families were married families in 1976, and that has dropped down to about 49%.
And so you're saying, let's have, along the lines of an anti-smoking campaign, a campaign that encourages young people, complete your education, get a job, and get married before you have kids.
Well, certainly I think this is a bigger social structural issue. And I don't think it's primarily the job of government to resolve the gap. I think this has occurred over a long time, and it will take a long time to resolve. And it's not primarily the government. But we did look at what other jurisdictions around the world are doing in terms of marriage. And some of that, one of the suggestions from two sociologists in the U.S. who come at family from two very different perspectives but wrote a policy paper together, they suggested that there might be a public policy, a public education campaign like the anti-smoking campaign that would, as you said, encourage people to sort of seek education, seek employment, kind of get those things in order, get married, and then have kids. And part of that also is an initiative of the Brookings Institution, which is a nonpartisan group in the United States as well. So those are just one of the ideas.
Okay. Appreciate you joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Peter John Mitchell, Senior Researcher for the Canadian Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.